This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Game streaming and recording are the first shiny gen features new to console players, but there's a few people messing it up for the rest of us. This is why we can't have nice things. Tonight is December 1st, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Right up there. The one private message you don't ever want to see is at some point this week I'm going to be shipping you some balls. Hi, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And you can check in on the site if you are logged in and get some points that could be used toward loot, just like SSJ100 Matt and Fifth Dream. They were the first two to check in. And by the way, Fifth Dream is the winner of our first ever monthly raffle. We raffled off the base set of Cards Against Humanity, and Fifth Dream won it by participating on the site. We have a new raffle up. Go to VogNetwork.com/raffle. We are giving away a $20 points card of your choice if you win from a lot of the gaming services, but also iTunes. So, you know, Nintendo, either the eShop or Wii, PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, Steam, or iTunes. $20 of your choice. All you got to do is participate, enter the raffle. You have to opt into the raffle, and each point that you get on the December leaderboard will count as one entry into the raffle. Fifth Dream actually had, I think, 40 points, and he won. So you don't have to participate all that much, but the more you participate, the better. If you want to get the points and you're not here live, you can head on over and listen for the passphrase somewhere in this episode. Put that in the podcast check-in area, and you, too, can get the same amount of points and same amount of entries into the raffle. So we love you, too, even if you're a podcast. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, comfort. So a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. So, you know, the past 2 weeks, we've been talking a lot about the new consoles and then in the shiny gen that I'm calling it. Not next gen, not new gen, shiny gen, because, frankly, they're so new, the dust hasn't been able to collect on them yet. So we do have a comment from a previous episode. I try to read the comments from previous episodes. And this time it's from Obi-Wan Jabroni, who comments a lot on our stuff, which is great. He's participating, and he actually gets points for doing that. So, Obi-Wan Jabroni says, when I added you on Xbox One, there was no way to input a message like on the 360, so I had to send you a separate message so you knew who I was. I sent you the message from the Xbox One, but interesting that you saw it on the 360. By the way, using the Xbox One Smart Glass app and entering text works pretty damn well, because basically what I was saying is that even though they've upped the friends limit on the new consoles, you should still send me a message. And that was before I realized that you don't need to send a message to be someone's friend. It's more like following. It's more like Twitter. Xbox One's friends area works more like Twitter, where you've got your following and your followers, and then you can have your favorites. So they kind of switched it up, along with just about everything else that you know about console gaming. The Xbox One switched up. He also pointed out that if there's no storage manager, what if I don't one day I don't want like the Twitch app? How the heck do I get rid of it? Then he also asks he said that he ended up getting a play and charge kit along with the console. There's no way to check battery life, or am I missing something? And there's a lot of stuff like that on the Xbox One where you think you want to do something that you've been doing on other consoles, and it's just not there anymore. And the thing about the storage manager is that people pointed it out last week, and I did a little bit more research, is that it is completely controlled by Microsoft and by the cloud. And the way that it works is that, like, let's say you don't want the Twitch app anymore. Well, if you don't use it long enough, eventually it will get removed from your system. And, to make room for other things. So the things that you use the least or things that you haven't used in a long time are going to be the first ones to go. And that's basically the way that it's going to work, the storage manager. And it's all controlled by Microsoft. It's all automatic. It's so you don't have to think about it. It's supposed to be one of those things that's good for you, good for the consumer. Now you don't have to worry about if you have enough hard drive space, because it will automatically cycle things through for you. So Obi-Wan Jabroni, he continued with the second comment after we talked about that. He says, I don't like the idea of Microsoft controlling all that stuff. They should give the user an option in settings where you can have a choice whether they auto-delete apps or games you don't use. I mean, what if I don't play Killer Instinct for a couple months for whatever reason? Microsoft will remove it. I'll have to re-download it with the patch, which was about 3 gigs. And I know Forza was even bigger. It was 6 gigs. But what about people on bandwidth caps? So even if you downloaded it once, there's no guarantee it's still going to be on your hard drive 6 months later, which is a something to really think about. And one of the things I brought up as well and that I keep thinking of is, like, let's say Yaris. Okay, we all make fun of Yaris. Microsoft denies Yaris's existence. It was a free game. It was for a car commercial on Xbox Live, one of the worst games on the Xbox 360, and they removed it from the store. Well, I could still play it because I still had it on my old 360's hard drive. It was still there. But under this scenario, Microsoft could go in just like we learned Steam could do a couple weeks ago, and they could say, no, that gets removed from your console, and suddenly that's no longer on your console. You didn't delete it, but now suddenly it's not there anymore. So that's kind of a little bit of an overreach, and I'm not really excited about that. Neither is Obi-Wan Jabroni. But he also brings up, because he says that he remembered he deleted Double Dragon 2 once from his 360's hard drive by mistake. The game was not on Xbox Live Arcade anymore, but I could still download it from the download manager. Streets of Rage 2, on the other hand, when I switched to the 360 Slim, I couldn't get a hold of it anymore because something went wrong with the license transfer, or it's that Streets of Rage 2 got replaced with Streets of Rage Vintage Collection. He also says that the settings on the Xbox One are very dumbed down, I guess, for the average user. I don't know. I like my electronics to have settings, every setting under the sun, where I can customize it to my heart's content, but we are a different audience to what they are marketing to. And then he says that I'm hoping all these issues with the dashboard, or I mean the Xbox OS, get fixed in future OS updates. At the same time, I can't help but feel, man, we'll be waiting for updates for a long time. That's when you get used to the layout of the Xbox One, they'll just go and change it for you. Because the Xbox 360, the UI has changed like 3 or 4 times. The Xbox 360 that came out in 2005 looks completely different than the Xbox 360 we have today. And then there was the new Xbox Experience, which then they've replaced and stuff. So Microsoft likes changing a lot of stuff, and they like changing the status quo. And we even saw that with the original plan that they were going to have with the DRM that they got rid of. They like trying new things, and a lot of the things they're trying so far, to me, have fallen flat. I'm glad that they tried them, but I'd like to, have a storage manager. I think that getting rid of the storage manager is not a smart idea, and I think if they had told us that back in May, it would have been one of those things where people would have been just as up in arms as they were about the DRM and all that stuff, because we like having control over our devices. And Microsoft doesn't want us to have any control over this device. Seal says, that sounds like a horrible system. PS4 wins. PS4 does have a storage manager. And you can actually move things over to USB sticks or external hard drive. And you can change the hard drive. You can do all that stuff. Can't do that on the Xbox One. Changing the hard drive in Xbox One voids your warranty. Rama says, Xbox One is powered by Windows 8. Someone will hack it and screw over Microsoft with it. All their stuff now is based on Windows 8. So you have a unifying experience, which sucks, because if I want a tablet experience, I will use a tablet. If I want a desktop experience, I will use a desktop. If I want a console experience, I will use a console. If I want an Oculus Rift experience, I'll use an Oculus Rift. The first news that that I wanted to talk about, this is, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, we're here in the new Shiny Gen. And the biggest new feature that people are using is the ability to share, to be able to share their gameplay very easily. Is that, and that's, there's a grammar Nazi out for me right now, I guess. And there are a couple of people ruining it for the rest of us. And then there are policies that are ruining it for all of us. This one, this is a little kind, not really a personal story for me, as in I'm not the one that got in trouble, but I caused someone to get into trouble. And so this kind of hit close to home. Polygon reports that Microsoft is seemingly issuing temporary bans to users of the Skype and Upload Studio apps on Xbox One who have used profanity, according to multiple reports on the Xbox One subreddit and on the Xbox forums. So first off, just because you read it on Reddit or on forums does not necessarily make it true, except I have firsthand account from somebody, which is going to be a third-hand account from you because it's not me. I've actually seen this happen. And so basically users are reporting that after uploading gameplay clips in which they swear through the Xbox Upload Studio app or even swearing in a private Skype call, according to one Twitter user, that one's probably a stretch, their Xbox One prevents them from using the app in question with a message that asks them to choose something else to play because of their past behavior. So what actually wound up happening is that this was actually somebody who used to listen to the show a lot, Tedekin. He was playing Forza 5, and Forza 5 has those Drivatar AIs where it takes your tendencies and doesn't scale them down. I mean, it's still some of the worst AI. It's not balanced at all on the easier side. It's great. I mean, people who are good at racing games say it's the best racing AI they've ever seen in a game, but that's because it gives them a really good challenge. But it shouldn't be that challenging on the easier difficulty levels. And actually what it winds up being is that it doesn't scale down the difficulty of the Drivatar. So if you have somebody on your people on your friends list, it will put them in your game and you'll be, you know, way ahead of the Drivatars that are set to your skill level, but your friends will make things hell even on New Racer. And just my last note on Forza 5 is that if you have never played a simulation racer game before, Forza 5 should not be your first one. Because if I'm having that much trouble on New Racer difficulty and I'm not a new racer, I am scared to see what somebody who's never actually played a racer before would be on that. They may never play racers again. So play a different Forza, play Gran Turismo, play anything else but Forza 5. It is not welcoming to new players. Anyway, so Tedekin was racing against my Drivatar. And there was a little bit of a battle going on, and in the end, he did actually beat me, but he had to use the rewind feature, which in his head says, oh, it's the Sands of Time, and then he's like, this would be a funny clip. So he saves the gameplay clip, goes into Upload Studio, and does this entire monologue as I think, Ricky Bobby from that movie. And it's hilarious, but it has a few F-bombs and S-words and stuff, but it's done in a funny voice. It's not done maliciously. Well, he got banned from Upload Studio and Game DVR. He actually had to call Microsoft. They couldn't figure out what was going on. His account was in good standing. And then they said, oh, it's a 48-hour ban. Well, it was actually a 72-hour ban. He was in Xbox jail for like 72 hours. They initially said 24 to 48 hours, and apparently that meant 72. Where he couldn't use the Game DVR, he couldn't record clips, he couldn't use Upload Studio. Basically, that entire feature set of the Xbox One was shut off to him because he made this joke clip. And here's the thing. There's no warning. He didn't get a single warning. There is actually no warning in Upload Studio saying that you could lose privileges if you don't adhere to our guidelines. And the other crappy thing is that if he wanted to do that and just upload it to YouTube, he can't. In order to upload your created clip from Upload Studio to Microsoft SkyDrive, which you can then download from SkyDrive and then upload to YouTube, you have to publish it. It has to be published on Xbox Live. There is no way at all to skip publishing on Xbox Live and just upload to SkyDrive so you could put it elsewhere. And we know that because of Kinect, Microsoft has voice recognition technology, so they don't even need a person just sitting there listening. They don't need to wait for reports. They could probably tell when you say those words, and boom, that's it. It's over. Sky says it shuts the DVR off. He says that he could not use the game DVR feature. I don't know if that's really the case or not. I didn't see any uploaded clips from him for a while. So I don't know. Breakman says, do what Microsoft tells you to do, even if they don't actually tell you to. And like I said, there's no warning. There's no way to get around the publishing. So and they've got, I mean, Upload Studio's wonderful editing tool. But they don't tell you ahead of time, by the way, you get one strike and you're out. And I get the whole point of they're trying to clean up whatever. But, I mean, you could still go into a Call of Duty Ghost game on Xbox One and they're still screaming at you and nothing's going to happen to them. But they're going to do this to Upload Studio clips that are, in my mind, hilarious. Like, I thought it was hilarious, even though he did beat me in the end. Degenerate Johnny says, we're moving back to the 1940s language on Xbox Live. Gosh darn, gee willikers, cheese and crackers. Son of a fudge nugget, take your pick. So Microsoft representative did respond to Polygon's request for comment, explaining that the company does not monitor private Skype conversations, even though they probably could. I mean, Kinect is like that. However, excessive profanity in Upload Studio videos will result in suspensions. They say, quote, to be clear, the Xbox Live policy and enforcement team does not monitor direct peer-to-peer communications like Skype chats and calls. Also, we take code of conduct moderation via Upload Studio very seriously. We want a clean, safe, and fun environment for all users. Excessive profanity, as well as other code of conduct violations, will be enforced upon and result in suspension of some or all privileges on Xbox Live. We remain committed to preserving and promoting a safe, secure, and enjoyable experience for all of our Xbox Live members, unquote. Well, you're going to the wrong place, because you really should be going to Call of Duty or GTA or any of those places where it's not a fun place to be unless you are of that mindset. Upload Studio, probably not the place. Because most people that are going to see your clips are your friends. Because it's kind of hard to find like random clips. If you want to see that video, I don't know if somebody's going to link it in chat for the live listeners. It will actually be embedded on the episode page at VogNetwork.com. There is NS, not safe for work language on it, and that's why I'm not playing it here. But it was actually pretty funny, even though he did beat me, and it sucked. Big Beaky asks, what will happen when Twitch comes to Xbox One? Well, we do have a story about that. Now, Twitch is already, like, you could watch Twitch broadcasts on Xbox One, but you can't stream yet. But it's already gotten another console in trouble, and they've had to do some changes there. Game Informer reports that earlier this week, which we were going to talk about this last week, they reported on some users abusing the PlayStation 4's Twitch streaming capabilities with the Playroom. So the Playroom, it comes with each PlayStation 4, and if you have a PlayStation camera, it actually does some AR things, but you can also stream it. So it's a very cheap webcam setup that you can stream to Twitch or Ustream. While some, like the Spartan Show, have done great things with it, attracting thousands of viewers and even Sony representatives, others have chosen a different route. So this has led to Twitch to take some streams using Playroom out of rotation. So basically, now if you're on Twitch and you stream from the Playroom, it will no longer be listed in the directory. They say, quote, we removed Playroom content from the directory because a majority of it was non-gaming related, unquote. And this is according to a Twitch representative to Game Informer via email. So they say, quote, we will look into adding it back as PS4 owners become more familiar with the game-only focus of Twitch content. In the meantime, you can view all of the amazing gameplay from PS4 broadcasters and their directory page on Twitch, unquote. So the key here, and there were some confusion, is Twitch wants game-related content. This does not mean it has to be game footage, but, like, you know, if we wanted to broadcast this show on Twitch, which I'm not going to, it would be allowed, even if I don't show any gameplay, even if it's just a static screen or whatever, because this is game content. It's game-related content. That's what they want. But there were people that were doing things like, you know, having sex on it or, you know, being drunk and making fools of themselves and not gaming content. And Twitch obviously wants to stay as gaming-focused. That's why they split off from Justin TV in the first place. And you can still broadcast to Ustream, because Ustream's not gaming related, so you could still broadcast your Playroom gameplay to Ustream, and it would probably still be there, but it doesn't have the big audience that Twitch does, especially for gaming stuff. So they've kind of had to look long and hard, and that's why I'm kind of saying that, you know, there are some people that are ruining it for the rest of us. And some of those people actually work for these companies, and some of these people are actually the ones that are using the thing. I don't ever see Playroom coming back to be on Twitch. I think they're just going to say that and let it die down and just never revisit it. But you can still stream to it. You just can't be listed in the directory. Nobody will find you unless you give out the link. But I will say, like, you know, watching some of the Upload Studio clips, I mean, it's actually really neat to watch the upload stuff and see what people have done that don't break the law or anything. I actually have fun going through watching those, and, you know, it's nice also to see a lot of the streaming, and it's, you know, a couple years ago, I didn't understand why you would want to stream games. And I kind of get it now. I watch some, not much. But I can kind of see it. So I was kind of an old curmudgeon by not doing it until now. And even now, I don't even do it all that much. So how did the consoles do? I mean, they're both out, and, you know, we've had here in the U.S. Black Friday, which was very late in the year. They didn't like it. The retailers didn't like it because there's not that many shopping days left until Christmas. So both consoles have been out here in the U.S. The PS4 just came out in Europe, took down PSN again for everybody. Hope you didn't try to redeem a code on Friday because... PSN like just couldn't handle load. Xbox One's still fine. I haven't seen any kind of downtime with the Xbox One yet. It's not saying it's not going to happen, but Xbox One's definitely got the better network than PS4 right now. VentureBeat reports that Microsoft's Xbox One was the most popular video game console on Black Friday, according to a survey of early shoppers by shopping market research firm InfoScout. The Xbox One video game console dominated the rankings at Walmart and Target, coming in at number one with 31% share, even though it had the highest purchase price. Those rankings may not hold up, but they're the earliest indicator in a console war that will go on for years to come. The news isn't entirely bad for Sony, as sales were evidently constrained by limited availability of the new PlayStation 4, which launched a week earlier. But it does suggest that Microsoft succeeded in preparing its early supply chain for a torrent of sales. Don't use the term torrent. That gets Microsoft all antsy. At number two was Microsoft's older Xbox 360 console, which had a 30% share. The 360 sold for its $180 at Target and was a doorbuster price of $99 at Walmart. Meanwhile, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 tied for third with a 15% share each. The Wii U came in a distant fifth with 6% market share. And then the older Wii was sixth with 1% market share. I guess this doesn't talk about the handhelds at all. So Microsoft's consoles had 61% of the market, and the next generation consoles, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, not the Wii U, just the PS4 and Xbox One, had a total of 46% of the market. Call of Duty Ghosts was the number one selling game by a large margin. And of those who bought a console, 85% said they planned to purchase two or more video games during the holiday period. About 80% of consumers said they purchased their machine as a gift, but 10% admitted they would likely open it before Christmas. So the survey was based on 83,000 shopping receipts from about 3,000 people on Black Friday, which was about double the normal shopping trips that InfoScout tracks in a day. InfoScout's mobile apps, Receipt Hog, and Shopperoo incentivize 125,000 Americans to submit pictures of their everyday shopping trips. The company processes this information and comes up with analyses within 24 hours of purchases. So this is not a scientific poll, but it was kind of interesting to see that, you know, we all said that, you know, Microsoft had lost. According to this, they won Black Friday. SJ Wonder Matt says Walmart held back their Xbox One supply until Black Friday, so I'm skeptical. That's something that typically does happen where they will, because they kind of have to, if you advertise something, you have to at least have it in stock. So they have to hold back a lot of their supply so it's there, because if people show up and it's not there, then there's like truth in advertising problems. And that's actually happened as well, as where, you know, I've read reports that there were some Walmarts in previous years, not this year, that would advertise a doorbuster sale and just say, oh, well, you know, by the time the people get there and they go through the door, they're like, oh, it's already sold out, because they never had them in the first place. They just advertise the sale to get people in the door. So that's why they kind of have to hold back, so that doesn't happen, because that could get you in trouble. Codeman says GameStop held back their PS4 supply for Black Friday as well. That's how I got mine. The last story I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to take a quick music break, which will make some people happy because they miss the music breaks, is about none of these consoles. It's about the actual next generation, because I wanted to bring this up. This actually was something I was going to bring up last week, and I decided not to touch it yet. But IGN reports that John Carmack, he is the programmer responsible for Doom, Quake, and more, as well as Rockets and stuff like that, has left id Software completely. So id Studio director Tom Willits told IGN, quote, John Carmack, who has become interested in focusing on other things other than game development at id, has resigned from the studio. John's work on id Tech 5 and the technology for the current development work at id is complete, and his departure will not affect any current projects. We are fortunate to have a brilliant group of programmers at id who worked with John and will carry on id's tradition of making great games with cutting-edge technology. As colleagues of John for many years, we wish him well, unquote. He joined Oculus as its chief technology officer a couple months ago, and he was going to remain at id Software in some capacity, but he was going to continue, but it just wasn't going to work out. His heart wasn't in it. His heart is in VR. His heart is in the Oculus Rift, which is great because next holiday season will be the actual launch of the next gen when the Oculus Rift consumer model comes out and blows you all away, blows all you skeptics away with its awesomeness. It's not there right now. The awesomeness is not there right now. It really does need that the better resolution. And it's not really... They're making some strides in some of the injection drivers to get the older games to work in it. But really, by the time the Consumer Rift comes out, there will be some games that are made for it that'll be awesome. That's the real next gen. That's something to be hyped up about more than Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll come back and take your calls. We're actually running on time, so we can actually take more calls than usual and probably end on time as well. So we're going to take this music break, and then we'll be back and taking your calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
You're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Yeah. Alt has an Oculus Rift too in chat, so like the entire music break, we've just been geeking out about the Oculus Rift. And Raginator takes another shot. Welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to be an accomplished voice actor of a game I don't even play. You can leave me a bumper with just your voice. Send an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can call the toll-free number and leave it as a voicemail. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of books there. You can make any of those your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. But we've already got a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is the infamous Pimp Method.
Pimp Method, what's up, man?
I'm doing all right. I would like to respond about the Microsoft Upload Studio.
Okay.
I hate to say this to everyone in the gaming community who like to use four-letter words, though, but it's in the user agreement. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. It is still in like the user's agreement. Whatever you like it or not, though, whenever you actually press that A button or like X of a button, you agree to it. Like Xbox Live / like the PSN network, though, it is a private service, not a public service. So you got to play in their own rules. I completely agree.
The place where I, quote unquote, have the issue, where you you probably would disagree with me on this, is that they don't reiterate it when you load Upload Studio at all. and they don't even give you a warning. It's a one shot, you're out, and not everybody reads the user agreements, and I'm totally fine with it being there, but they should, if they wanted to be nice people, which they may not want to be, they should at least remind you, by the way, we can tell if you curse, and you shouldn't do it. And I'm not a fan of the one strike, you're out rule either. I completely agree. It's in the user agreement, and you play by their rules. Private company, perfectly fine. I just think they could have done a better job communicating it, because a lot of people think, hey, if only my friends see this, it's going to be okay. And I don't like the fact that you have to publish through their service to use it, and you can't just upload the file for you to do what you want elsewhere.
Understandable, but we all had to agree to their rules. For example, I'm going to make it quick. Mm-hmm. My old gamer tag is, not surprisingly, Pimp Method. I had it since like the earlier days of like Xbox. I had it throughout like the newer console. Heck, even my name was even featured in like the event of a community gamer night twice. One time, with several games of like playing 1 versus 100, mm-hmm. one night, I just answered like a question correctly. Also, mm-hmm. I just got kicked off the game. Mm-hmm. I tried to get back in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get back in. Turns out, my old gamer tag, Pimp Method, was offensive throughout X amount of years. Yeah. So now, I had to go by Dark Method 45, mm-hmm. I guess, for like 3 or 5 years since then, though. But people were so used to like my game attack name. Yeah. And unfortunately, though, I knew the rules. Mm-hmm. Microsoft accepted the game attack, though. Mm-hmm. They could just like say, you can't use that.
Right.
But unfortunately, I read rules, and unfortunately, though, if I want to use that service, I'm going to have to agree to their rules.
Yep.
That is all I got to say, though. Let me just get off before I actually get, like, people running towards my house with their forks and...
Nobody's like that.
And torches.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bobby Black will show on Skype 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. We actually had a lot of people try to call in, so this is nice. And a lot of them are people I haven't seen before. So this is going to be even better. Hopefully they'll get through. Bobby Black will show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Big Beaky, first-time caller, long-time fan.
Awesome. I love hearing that. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I was listening to your show 2 weeks ago, and it's been stuck in my mind for the last week. Why is Flower not a game? I must ask.
It seems it's more... It's closer to a game than some other things, but I call it more of an experience. And that also comes from the fact that I do a lot of stuff with the Oculus Rift and VR, and a lot of those can't be considered games, but they're more experiences. But Flower is closer to a game than a lot of other things, like, say, Gone Home, which I recently played. And that's more of an experience. It's a story. And even Flower has a story, and it's kind of like art.
Yeah, because so. I felt like Flower had gameplay mechanics.
Yes.
You had a goal. Mm-hmm. You had a story. And it's not just you. I've heard that from a lot of different people, a lot of different reviewers, IGN, that's experienced another game, and I don't understand how you guys are defining games, because games could be a lot of different things.
I think the reason we say it's an experience is and not really a game is because it defies the traditional definition of what people are used to thinking a game is. A game has points, a game has scoring and stuff, and a lot of games don't have that anymore either, but this is kind of one of those art house type of things, but art house movies are still movies, and so it's probably not a, you know, Flower is more of a game than we probably give it credit for. But it's not the traditional definition of the game, and I think that's where the disconnect is.
Okay, that's all I had. I had to find out your reason for it. It was just stuck in my mind. Mm-hmm. Love the show. We'll be listening next week as well. Have a good
one. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. I like being challenged like that and having to think about that. But yeah, I did say it. Gone Home, I did actually get to play. And I got it on the $5 Steam sale. And that's definitely more of an experience than a game. It's a very good interactive story. It takes about an hour and a half to get through the main storyline. But I did enjoy it. Definitely worth the $5. Not sure I would have paid $20 for it, but $5, sure. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Ronmo. How's it going, Bobby?
Ronmo, what's up, man?
Not much. I'm just enjoying a rare treat in my neck of the woods called Pepsi Throwback.
What's Pepsi?
Ah, funny.
So what's up, man?
Not much. I'm just calling in about the whole Black Friday thing, and I'm just like, everybody's just blowing it out of proportion. I went out, did all my shopping, came back. The most I seen is a kid get beat by his parent, by his mom, and her telling the guy behind the counter, you know what, give the Xbox One to the next person in line, and they walk out.
As the parent probably should.
Yes.
In that situation. The majority of Black Friday shoppers, it went well. It's just we don't see that on the news.
Yes, I don't mean to interrupt, but what you see on the news is just crazy people whooping each other's asses at Walmart over a $99 TV that's going to break in about a year by an off-name brand.
Yeah. Yeah, and also a lot of times you got to realize it's also a slow news day because everybody's on vacation anyway, so that's all the news has to cover is this stuff. So, like, there's always... Unfortunately, there's always violence in shopping area in stores and stuff over products, but you never hear about the ones that don't happen on Black Friday because there's other news going on. But on Black Friday, like, that is the only news.
Pretty much, and I talked to a lot of people. They're like, they refuse to go do Black Friday shopping because of all of this. And I'm like, look, I've worked 5 years on Black Friday. I'm the crazy one that does the first shift. They only let 10 people in at a time to shop. Then as people come out, more people come in. Once all the doorbusters are practically gone, then it's business as normal.
Yeah. I don't go just because there's too many people out there, and I don't like trying to find parking and driving in that area. But that's not because of shoppers. It's just because people don't know how to drive anywhere.
Well, true. That's a story for another time. But luckily for where I live, all I got to do is jump from one train to another, and I'm good.
And your public transportation.
Yeah, I know.
What's that like? Is that kind of like Pepsi Throwback?
Yes. Well, actually, it's more like regular Pepsi, because Throwback is tasty with the sugar, and, you know, the regular Pepsi is just ugh and disgusting, especially when it's expensive.
Yeah. Anything else on your mind?
Yes, I did some shopping at GameStop, and Bobby, I want you to be my witness to this.
Okay.
I have one of their power-up rewards cards, and they were trying to goad me into getting the plus card, and I'm like, I'm not going to spend money on something I'm not going to use on a regular basis. So if by chance I should actually get the pro rewards card, you have first dibs at beating some sense out of me and taking all my consoles and games away.
I'm judging you right now.
Go right ahead.
I'm judging you.
You can judge me all you want because I'm sitting here with a copy of Ni No Kuni, which is badly
aged. Terrible.
So terrible that it made greatest hits.
It's terrible. I'm judging you for the Ni No Kuni, not necessarily for the Evil G stuff.
Hey, you forget I'm an anime fan. This is Miyazaki. It's anime.
I wanted to love it.
But I only paid like $15 for it.
That's $20 too much. He's doing the math in his head, guys. He's trying to figure that out.
No, I'm doing that animated castle gif, you know, like, what, you know.
You and your gifs. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's it, broski.
All right, thanks so much. Anime Jam Sessions Tuesday nights.
You got it. Later.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Ikuma JP says, it is not Miyazaki. I think it's his studio. I'm not sure if it was actually him, but it's definitely his. It looks like his stuff. So we do have another call here on the line. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not much. Since the show has been talking about Black Friday, I think it's been talked about enough. We'd like to talk about a somewhat related topic. The scheme, fall sale. Mm-hmm. My question is, what did you think about the sale?
It was your typical Steam sales, and it tried to eat from my wallet, and it only ate $5. So I'm pretty happy. Loki was trying to get me to get Saints Row 4, and I resisted because I was able to resist. Gone Home was for $5. That was a really good deal. But that was the only thing that I got out of it. What did you get out of it?
Oh, God. That can count. Help. I alone spent $80 this week, which is far more than I normally spend. 74 of that I spent myself. I did spend like $6 on the blue guy. I got him a game, or two games rather. I got him DLC Quest and Magic 2014. I got like Gone Home for myself, just like you. So much stuff I can't even count it all up. And then of course I gotta get myself, thanks. I think it was Jason that got me, Saints Row. So nice. Thanks to Jason.
Cool.
I love the sale. And, I'm kind of looking forward towards the next sale, which I think is gonna be what, 2 weeks?
I don't know. It's whenever Gabe needs more money, he creates a sale.
Yeah, the weird thing is, this is what, my second sale since joining Steam earlier this year, and I kind of have a love-hate, relationship with the sales. On one hand, I love, buying the stuff because I can get good discount games, because I have a limited budget for gaming, therefore I get more bang for my buck. At the same time, I can't tend to go overboard, and my wallet ends up hating me in the end all afterwards. Yeah. So
that makes the Newell happy.
Oh yeah. Depending on what my budget is like later this month, I may try to. Assuming that my next check coincides with the next sale, I'm gonna try to pick up a little extra, something for my inventory day where I can do a gift or two for a couple people, because like a thank you for gifting me stuff in the past. So,
awesome.
Anyway, I talked to you here off long enough. All right. I'll let you go. That way,
all right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
And in case people are wondering, he was not using a headset. I could actually see him, and he was just using the onboard microphone of his laptop. So that's kind of why he was a little tinny. Raginator, if you're listening, you may want to use a headset when you call into radio shows, because it was kind of hard to understand you even with like my really good headphones. So you may want to use a headset when you call in instead of just using the room. That's it. Those are all the calls that we're going to take. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, or Sounds Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much longer than I do. And I hear they even have a special guest as well. So we like to call and check in with them if Skype will ever pick up. I don't know if it's good. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Sorry we were slow to answer. I was giving out balls here in studio.
I do not need to know about that.
We were playing with balls of multiple colors.
And just so the listeners understand, because I know you have a family show, Bobby Black Wolf, Grandpa from Horde House had these little hacky sacks with the Vogue logo printed on them for BlizzCon. Well, he had like, I don't know, about 200, and he only ended up giving away about 100 of them at BlizzCon. So we have 100 of these Vogue, as Grandpa was calling them, BlizzCon ball sacks, because that's literally what they are. They are little hacky sacks. We have them here in studio, so we're going to be... I'm going to send a box to you, Bobby, so you have some, because I know you go to some some conventions locally
Adventures.
And can get some use out of that. I'll hang on to them for the stuff I go to out here for, you know, GamerX.
I prefer to call these the VOG Network Pester Balls.
They do look kind of like Pester Balls, and I will have you know, Grandpa was pestering me with those big time at BlizzCon.
Were you taunting them? Were you taunting the balls?
I would be outside talking to somebody, and then suddenly I get clocked in the back of the head with one. That actually happened.
I'm going to take them to school and throw them at all the hippies.
And certainly if some of our other podcast hosts, like I see Brad in chat's like, I want one, I can definitely send some of these out. So I'll be in touch. And then I'm sure some of these leftovers will get snuck into raffles later on.
Hey,
so
hey Rob, these balls are very meta. There's little balls inside the balls.
They are.
And then the balls are in another, never mind.
They're in another castle.
So yeah, everybody in chat is like, I want one. So we'll get some out to our VOG loyals, but we'll definitely have some for raffle giveaways too at some point. I mean, obviously we want to give you more than just a little hacky sack, but maybe kind of like throw that in as a little, you know, with something else in the future.
So congrats to Fifth Dream.
Yes, congratulations.
Our first winner. Now he can't enter for 3 more months. So he's like, I'm not participating anymore for 3 months.
Wait a minute, that wasn't the point. No, my favorite was that Fifth Dream asked, do I get special loot for that? And I'm like, yes, you get loot, IRL.
Yeah, we're sending it to you.
Actual tangible loot, so there you go.
So you guys have something special going on tonight.
We do. We've got a really action-packed show tonight. Our buddy Jason is joining us again here in studio, and Loki and Jamie are both here, so we got a full house here in studio. And we have a special guest joining us tonight for an interview. His name is Matt Kahn. He was the founder of GamerX, which was the big convention, first-year convention in San Francisco this past, oh my gosh, like summer was such a blur. I don't even remember what month
it really
was.
You really should have just named it Matt Kahn. I mean, because...
he has a nice name for it. It was a huge success. For a first-year con, it was amazing. And I had a great time at the con. And, you know, obviously they're setting up for GamerX too. But what he wants to talk to us about tonight is the Kickstarter. You know, since the GamerX Kickstarter was insanely successful, you know, that whole convention was a Kickstarter success story. One of the biggest ones in gaming, in fact. I mean, you know. Tonight he's going to talk to us about his latest Kickstarter for ROM is the game. And it's a Snatcher-inspired adventure game. So we're going to talk to him about that.
Awesome. And what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, gosh. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in gaming. A lot of it has to do with sales figures, of course, sales figures here locally, and some talk in Japan about how the latest Mario game is selling or not selling. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what that could mean. If we maybe fixate a little too much on those types of sales figures, I know we definitely want to have that discussion. Also in tonight's show, we're going to talk about... I'm trying to think of things you didn't talk about. Oh, I know. This one's been catching some traction on Twitter. We might have some Twitter people because we've had all these very interesting retweets from our account tonight because we went there and mentioned Shenmue 3. Mm-hmm. And just the mere mention of that idea gets people very excited. And we learned about that in a big way this week. So we're going to talk about that and kind of the downs of what happened there, but also some of the ups. There is a silver lining we'll get to tonight. That may have the Shenmue fans not ready to give up hope.
And
what?
Insomnia in my house that's directly caused by video games.
And lots of reviews because we fell victim to Steam sale. I know I did. I have like 3 new games to talk about tonight. It's going to be busy reviews.
I am not
tonight.
A WoW widow. I'm an Ace Attorney widow.
The Gaben demanded money and received it.
I played a game this week. I'll tell you this. I'll leave you with this, Bobby. I played a game this week. I sat down to start it at like 9:30 at night. I did not get up from my chair until I finished it about 4.5 hours later. And I'll tell you, well, maybe not that one. Maybe about 3.5. I'll tell you what game it was and why it had me so fixated coming up next.
All right. Well, I picked up Gone Home. I did not get Saints Row 4, even though Loki sent me like 10 tweets saying I should.
Oh, it's okay. Because Saints Row 4 isn't working because I decided, hey, you know, let's support Volition, and I'm going to go ahead and buy this discounted season pass, only to have it break my game. Thank you, Volition. I really appreciate your terrible game.
We had some feedback, by the way, on last week's show and Loki's tone. We're going to talk about that as well.
Oh, sweet.
where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, good night. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby.
They're going to send me some balls. That's wonderful. So we will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. And leave me a bumper on any topic bumper for use on the show, or you can leave me a voicemail on any topic. Toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me the MP3 bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can use our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf, or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Show's not for everybody, but it could be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But I would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters, so thank you very much, Dark Sakura, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, The Rob D, VHStation XV, The Blue Guy, Doom Plague, Fifth Dream, winner of our raffle, Havoc978, ActDeft, Alt, Bacon Bits, Big Beaky, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Burr, Codeman, Seal, Critical Myth, Dark Tetsuya, Degenerate Johnny, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Gripper01, Ikuma JP, Nivy, Matt Q, Monster B, MXC, MXT, PKJR92, Raginator, Raspberry Mako, Shadows Liar, SJ100 Matt, Tedekin, Tiger Claw, Toagak, Wyland, William Murderface, Zappy, and Zona. So that is it. I will be back next Sunday night. Don't curse in Upload Studio. It makes Pimp Myth cry. You don't want that. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.